Now, this Christmas season, we've been looking at some of the things that happened when Jesus was born. He kicked off a bit of a revolution to change the way that we see the world. Now, we're looking at attributes of the people who follow Jesus. First, we looked at humility, and so I did a sermon on humility, and I must say, I feel pretty proud about that sermon. Then I did a sermon on love, and I hated that sermon. And this week we're looking at peace, and I feel a little bit conflicted by this one. That is to say that a lot of these things are easy to know about. It's easy to know it's good to be humble, or know it's good to love and how we should love. And it's good to know that peace is a great attribute in our society, but they're very hard to do. We've been looking at what Jesus did when he kicked off this revolution. We first looked at humility. He called his rebels to be humble in this world, which we saw is not about making yourself as low as possible, but about thinking that God's opinion of you is more important than your own. Not raising yourself up or lowering yourself below what he sees you as. We then looked at love, and we saw that to be rebels of Jesus, we love not in a way that we expect to get something out of it, but in a way that gives the benefit to the other person. Today, we're going to look at peace. Now, this year, I often dread the conversations that I may have with my family at Christmas time. I do that because I know that we are in a fairly strange world at the moment. Normally, there'd be a few topics that would be off the table and would be a little bit awkward amongst extended family. But I feel that this time, this Christmas, they're even more and more difficult. In fact, when I was writing this sermon about Christmas peace, it was a bit difficult because just thinking about the things that conflict us in society made me feel a little bit anxious and stressed me out. And so I think today, because there's a lot of fear and uncertainty in the world, I'm going to ignore those things and just talk about general things, and we can have an idea of how we can have peace at Christmas time. So I'll avoid talking about the hot button issues because that stresses us out, and I don't want you sitting there brooding about what my opinion is on it and how wrong I am. But I want you to hear how we can have Christmas peace. When Jesus came, he came to bring with him peace. Now, I think there are three ways that the life of Jesus gives us principles that we can use to promote peace in our lives around Christmas this year. The first is that we are all made in the image of God. Now, this means that when God made people, he imbued them with immeasurable value. They represent something of God in how he made us. This means that you are really special. My wife has put up Christmas decorations this year, and they are beautiful, but they are everywhere, all over the house. So anything that's sticking out has something hanging on it that has some kind of Christmas theme on it. Now, let's pretend that one Christmas time, right in the middle of our house, right in the middle of our lounge room, she put a stand and put a Christmas vase right in the middle there. Something that looks very delicate and would break, but right in the middle of everything. Now, the lounge room's the place where I would relax, and yet here would be a vase right in the middle of where I want to watch TV after the kids have gone to bed. And then I'd find that if this vase was sitting there, when the kids ran around the house, that would stress me out, and it would stress me out to run after the kids in the house to fear that I might knock over this vase. Now, if this went on for a few weeks, I would suspect that I would be very fed up with this vase, or maybe, just maybe deliberately knock it off because, oh dear, there it goes, it's out of my way now, or get rid of it so it's out of my way. Now, that would have stressed me out and made things difficult and been a cause of conflict. But if my wife came to me and said, "You see this vase? This vase belonged to my grandmother. She kept special care of this vase her whole life. It has a nativity scene on it, and every Christmas she would put it in the centre of our house to remind us all that Jesus is the centre of Christmas. It's one of a kind and it's precious. Now, I suspect that my attitude towards that vase would change. I would take care of it. I would move my chair so that when I did watch TV, the vase took its place and I could look around it. And when I walked through the lounge room, instead of getting annoyed at it, I suspect that I'd be happy to see it there. I would think about her grandmother and her grandmother's love for us, and I'd think about Jesus. People made in the image of God are like this vase. It's easy for us to get caught up with how they're inconveniencing us, how their point of view seems to get in the way of what I want to get out of life, the way I want the world to work. Getting caught up with my anxiety of how I may hurt them or how they may hurt me can make things difficult. But we forget that we are a loving, crafted creation of God. The same God who made me and loves me, made them and loves them. So when conflict arises this Christmas, the first thing that we need to remember to be peaceful rebels in this world is that all people are made in the image of God and loved by him. Now, it's all well and good for us to understand people's value, but people often do terrible things. Acknowledging someone's value does not mean that I have to agree with everything that they say or do. So this brings us to the second point, that Jesus assured us that there will be justice. Justice will be done. When Jesus came, he promised that perfect justice will be done against those who do evil. So those who make this world a worse place, he would make sure that justice is done. Now, this is very encouraging because it means that when I have conflict with someone, I don't need to end in a victory for me. Now, I'm sure that you all know by now that everything I say is usually right and there's no need to question it. But I often find when there is conflict and I try very hard to view that person as someone who's made in the image of God, someone with immeasurable value, and take the high road of having a clever, tempered argument and tempered with understanding, and I take that high road, they usually take the low road of subtle passive-aggressive bullying and gaslighting and then walking off and acting like a child when they can't win the argument. Then I have that part of me that feels injustice very strongly. I want how I was wronged to be made right. Being a peaceful rebel of God means knowing that Jesus has promised that he will bring perfect justice to every deed that has been done. The person that I have conflict with will have to face the consequences for the thing that they did against me. They'll have to face the consequences of their bad behaviour. So there is hope for a peaceful Christmas by knowing that the people we disagree with and have conflict with have immeasurable value, just as we do. And there is hope for peace knowing that justice will be done. Now, this leads us to the awkward truth that I don't want to acknowledge, and that is that sometimes in the conflict, I am the guilty one. So if there is a conflict, sometimes I'm the cause. Actually, the reality is that I'm always partially guilty of causing things to spiral out of control. We always play this game of pushing the conflict back to the point where the other person was guilty. So let's say on Monday morning, the garbage truck comes and it leaves and no one in our house has put the garbage out that morning. My wife would come and say, "You were supposed to put the garbage bin out." And I'd say, "Yes, but you were supposed to remind me to put the garbage bin out." And you see how I pushed the conflict backwards. And then she pushes it back a bit further and says, "Well, I didn't know I was supposed to remind you to put the garbage bin out." And then we push it back to the point where the other person is to blame and not us. And the truth is that we have both contributed in some way to the garbage bin not being picked up. Now, this leads us to what Jesus did when he came. He came to bring peace, and he came knowing that we are all guilty of something. He knew that we have all added to the conflict of this world, all added to the suffering in some way, whether we are good at arguing our position or not, either through the things that we have done or the things that we have not done. We all deserve justice to be done against us. When Jesus came, he lived a perfect life. He did not add to the evil in this world. In fact, everywhere he went, what was broken was restored. What was corrupted, he healed and he made clean. Then he was taken to the cross and paid the price for all the unnecessary conflict that we make in this world. All the times that we dismiss the immeasurable value of each other, and all the times that we assert our pride over others. Instead of asserting his righteous position, he laid down his life in sacrifice and paid the price that we owe. So if we turn to him, we can be saved. So when we enter conflict, we enter knowing that the other person is of immeasurable value. We enter knowing that perfect justice will be done, and we enter knowing that we are not perfect and we add to the conflict. We can admit our fault, knowing that Jesus has paid the price, and if we turn to him, we will be saved. Now, this Christmas, knowing these things are the building blocks of peace. But I'll leave you with what I see as the problem for the way that we talk about issues that leads to the most conflict. We often spend a lot of our time talking at the solution end of the problems and not the conflict end or the problem end of the problems. Now, to illustrate this, I'll talk about something really controversial, which is better, Nintendo or PlayStation video game consoles? Now, the Nintendo owner would say that the Nintendo is obviously better because we can have lots of friends over and we can all play it together and have lots of fun. Whereas the PlayStation owner would say, no, the PlayStation has much better graphics, much better games. It's a far better experience. And then the Nintendo person says, well, you're just antisocial. That's your problem. And this one says, yeah, but you're a Nintendork. So what are you talking about? You don't know a good game if you see it. And then they start to throw shade at each other from all sorts of things. Whereas the problem is not whether someone's being antisocial with a PlayStation or whether someone has bad graphics with a Nintendo. The problem is, I want something fun to do. These are both solutions to that. So if we talk about graphics and if we talk about social gaming, we're always going to butt heads. If we understand that the problem is, the core problem is we want to have fun together, if we say, how do we have fun together, then we can have a conversation. Now, this is kind of how it works with most of the controversial problems today. People want good things. They just demonize each other's solutions to the problem. So as we head into the dicey conversations this Christmas, try to think about what the problem is back at the problem stage and listen to the other person, and then you can have a conversation. If you argue at the solution stage, it's easy to demonize the other, chuck them into a tribe and act like the person who you disagree with is the problem. So be humble, loving, and peaceful rebels of Jesus this Christmas. Remember that those around you have immeasurable value. Remember that justice will be done. Remember that you are deserving of justice against you. So be humble and patient with each other, and know that if we turn to Jesus, we can be saved from the evil that we cause. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have not left us in our conflict and our troubles, but you sent Jesus to save us from the evil that we cause in this world. As we go out this Christmas, help us to have peace and love with each other. Help us to be understanding, knowing that others have immeasurable value, just as we do. Help us to know that you are the one who brings true justice, and help us to know that we often contribute to the problem ourselves. Thank you for everything that you do for us. And I pray, Lord, that we bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.